Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is James chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. The Reverend David Grunewald is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Our text is from the letter from James, chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace are yours. From God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior Jesus, the risen Christ. Amen. James says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. In just three short verses, it seems we find the full scope of our lived experience of faith. Now, James raises an alarming question, but he lays out the joys of discipleship and points us to God's beautiful present and future reality. But first, it does raise the alarming question, and if not for you, certainly for many others, where do these trials and challenges come from? Now, James's original audience, you likely know, was teasing out what it meant to live as God's people around Jews and Romans, who at best thought they were strange and at worst thought they were dangerous rebels and rabble-rousers worthy of being even put to death. Why is God allowing this? Is God even orchestrating this? And perhaps you've had similar wrestlings. I know people who have. I'm thinking now of a member who has taught me more about faithful suffering and the wrestling of faith than anyone I've ever met. Chronic pain, unyielding suffering. No real answers, no pain remediation, lingering between palliative care and hospice, but unable to land in either. Why, God? Is God allowing this? Did he even send it? Martin Luther writes about this. He's debating with Erasmus in The Bondage of the Will, and he says, ultimately, doesn't matter. Whether God did the trial or just allowed it, either way, it's under his sovereign will. Now, James is clear that God tempts no one, but trials, tribulations, everything else. Alzheimer's, it's gripping your mom. The painful state of your relationship with your youngest son, who knows? That's the hidden God. You could say he's still on the hook for it, as it is all still frustratingly and wonderfully under his providence. But our calling then is still yet to trust, just like James's original hearers. Luther goes on to say that we don't need to figure out why God sent the trial or existentially how this all came about. What matters is where God meets you in it, because he does. At the cross, through his word, sustained and persevering by the power of the Spirit, and in this is joy. As we are formed through these things more and more into Christ-likeness, that is the way of joy and suffering, knowing the somehow beautifully through it God is forming us, transforming us according to his perfect will. And in thinking about this and in praying about being here with you today, I was reminded of a trial that you may share uniquely, at least at times, not all the time, that's probably the same, if not exaggerated, as that of any other church worker or church staff. We might joke that every church staff sees how the sausage is made, but I imagine that you are like a church staff on steroids. That you probably come face to face with the brokenness of the church, the bride of Christ, in a way few others do. Now, sure, you may not have some of the trials and testings of other believers in the secular world. I have one couple, they're getting married, doing their premarital conversations, and learning more about the bride, what she deals with as a school counselor in a public setting. Trials, tribulations, whoa. How can God allow this? The evil and the ugliness of middle schoolers and their families encountering poverty and cutting and technology addictions and absentee parents and gender changes. But we can couch that. That's in the world. We would still cry out to God, why are you allowing this? Where are you in this? But that's the world. And our expectations are so typically low as to be frustrating, but not surprising. But in the church, the bride of Christ, why and how, God, will you allow these trials, these testings of our hope? When you've received yet one more phone call, toxic, about the rising cost of healthcare, you're accused of fleecing churches when it's nothing you can control, and you hate it too. Why? When you hear of yet one more scandal that has crippled a once vibrant ministry, families wounded. When you have one more report about the plummeting number of young people. Members seem to be hemorrhaging, closing doors of churches, bureaucratic roadblocks to slow down ministry. You hear or see unholy behavior, and you realize more than most anyone else that everyone, including those in the church, are still just as broken as the next. How can this be? Why, God? Frustrated, disheartened, maybe some days numbed. Working here, I don't doubt that there are times, not all the time, but times when you wonder where God is even in the midst of this. But count it all joy, brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that in the testing of your faith, it produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Because in Christ, the best and the worst of your lives, the best and the worst of the church, his bride, it's all being bent to the redemption that he has had in store the whole time. And that redemption is better than we have the imaginations to even dream of. And in that process, you and I, we are all being transformed. God is refining you through what you encounter in life, in your family, and at work. This life of faith that we share, it is not static, but it's an adventure. It's more Sir Galahad questing for the Holy Grail than Peter Gibbons in Office Space mindlessly going about his life. We're being transformed. Michelangelo says it this way. He's quoted as saying, I saw the angel in the marble, and I carved until I set him free. You are a prince and a princess in the kingdom of God. You are bound by blood and water to the resurrected one. The Spirit of the living God is shaping you through all of it. Another time Michelangelo said, and boy, does this track with our baptismal identity, the sculpture is already complete within the marble block before I start my work. It's already there. I just have to chisel away the superfluous materials. And all of your trials, whether work or family or health or engaging with a very broken world, it is all part of God's mysterious and beautiful purpose to set free the son, the daughter, fully formed in Christ, who his heart beats for. count it joy as you become more and more what you always were and are in Christ and in your unique roles here. You are helping as part of the Spirit's chisel for millions of other patiently enduring saints at home and around the world. Pastors and teachers do have health care, so they can preach and teach. You create resources and networks for missionaries and evangelists. You collect data and answer phones and write newsletters and on and on and on. You are daily part of God's redemptive plan through trials and tribulations, which the crown of life is freely given to all who trust in him. It's what James said. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. It is yours. And you are helping others to trust in that same wonderfully merciful Father who is with us through trial, through tribulation, to the end of his beautiful story. May God bless and keep you always, your souls and your work, to his glory. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.